I just wanted to take a few minutes to address where Rabbi Neuberger spoke about. I spoke about in what I would say is a complex and nuanced way, which is not how it always is addressed. A recognition that different people have different needs is important. But I do think that the point is important, but I would say even more, it's important not only now, it's always important. We do have a break in learning. We have a break because the finals of the reading week, people need a little downtime also, and that's all good and true. But I think it's worth remembering something I heard many years ago. I don't think this is a chiddush, but I heard that Rabbi Yonasan Sacks was the one who said it. The Ben Pesach for Shabbos visited a colleague, and he commented that he had a very nice formulation that in American culture, people work so they can go on vacation. In Judaism, we vacation so we can work. The purpose of leisure in for a Torah Jew is so that they have the strength and the capacity to serve God. And fundamentally speaking, when you adopt an approach like that, both attitudinally and behaviorally, on some level, I don't want to go too far with this, but taking time off becomes a form of avodas Hashem as well. It should go without saying that the time that's taken off should be used in a way that will enhance one's avodas Hashem productivity when one resumes the more direct work of that avodas Hashem, and it should be appropriate as well. And there may be many things in our culture that are either inappropriate or fundamentally, even if they're not inappropriate per se, do not actually serve the function of recharging, helping a person recharge, but in fact can serve as being draining. If I were to take an example, because it's a common example, it's easy to need some time off during the day, but if a person spends that time scrolling through their Facebook, their phone, putting aside sometimes the inappropriateness, that is not a restorative activity. That actually doesn't help a person relax. It doesn't help a person unwind. It doesn't diffuse one's tension. If anything, it adds to it. I understand its appeal because you have downtime. We used to call it, I guess it's a quaint by now, that Facebook was the place that time goes to die. But I think that it means choosing the kinds of activities during a break during the day, or choosing the kinds of activities during winter break, as it might be called, that will in fact enhance one's avodas Hashem. And if one is not directly engaged, if one is visiting Eretz Yisrael to support people there or to learn, so those are things that are more called direct avodas Hashem. But if a person is taking time off of leisure, it should be those things. It should be that which is necessary and that which actually will enhance one's ability to focus, concentrate, and to do the things they need to do once they're not involved in that downtime activity. So I think it's actually very, very important, what Rabbi Neuberger spoke about. I think it's important to chlav. It's not only important because there's a war going on in Eretz Yisrael. I think it's always really important. There is a perhaps it's true there's a reminder of Achechem Yavo L'Melchama V'Atem Teshuvo, that it certainly couldn't be an Eis Melchama and then we're just being Mevatel Zman and Mevatel Torah. And I like to say that I think Bittel Zman is a much bigger affair than Bittel Torah. Bittel Torah, where you're engaged in productive activities, may not even be a problem at all. Depends on the circumstances, on the person. But Bittel Zman is never excusable. And certainly in a time where many Jews in Eretz Yisrael, not only in war, but many can't even go to work because they're in the army, and that has had a tremendous impact economically in Eretz Yisrael. But certainly to be loafing around, to be goofing off and not doing things that are productive because inherently productive, and or because they create productivity because they're beneficial to you. So those are activities, while they should always be avoided, should be avoided even more so at this time. Challah.
Quiet.
Excuse me?
No, yeah.
Challah. So yesterday we explored Rabbi Natam's sheet, and Rabbi Natam's position was that once you begin life as a once a flour and water mixture begins life as a bevila ava, it will never be potter from challah. Now, in truth, Rabbi Natan doesn't actually hold that in its fullest form. He can't, because the Mishnah of Isas Klavim would be firmly against it. Now, it is one of the rayas that the Ramban brings against Rabbi Natan, And there are a number of Rishonim who seem to assume that it might be a problem for Rabbeinu Tam. Why is Isas HaKlavim not a problem for Rabbeinu Tam? Right? Because he agrees that it's Pater. Of course, what that does is throws a wrinkle into Rabbeinu Tam Shita. We had a very nice, clean-cut Shita which says it's not the thought that counts. You could sum up Rabbeinu Tam's Shita. That's a good way of putting it. Rabbeinu Tam's approach to Challah on an Isa is it's not the thought that counts. Whereas the Ramban's position is the thought most certainly. Do you like that, Ephraim? Ramban's position really is that the thought certainly does count. And your thought will dictate what the status of the Chiyuv Challah is, even if you never make it into an Isa. The Ramban would say that there is thought capture here. And once you think that you're going to have it as an Isa B'Sof, even if you don't make it there, it is still considered Chil Chayav and Challah. But if when you made an Isa in the first place, your intent had been for it not to reach a point of Chiyuv Challah, because you were planning on taking this dough and frying it and making it a donut, so then you would be pata from Challah. If you were taking this dough and you were planning on making fettuccine Alfredo with it, so then it would be pata from Challah, because both of these cases do not have an afia by anybody's definition at the end. So that's really the difference between Ramban and Rabbeinu Tam. I would like to read, I know we could just say Ramban says it in Ramban, but that's not what we do. So we're going to read the Ramban. I will actually read the Ramban. He says the following, thank you, Ephraim, for preparing this. The Ramban says, Elamiu ashbuchan l'chad le'rav vasa b'milsa perusha d'lodaya. We have found to one of the Rabbanim an interpretation that is not correct. The Ka'amar, he said, Hai ma'asi ofas depata reish lakish in the Chai Rav Yochanan, dafka b'dalesle gilgul meikar. It's only if you don't have a kneading process, which means a belila ava, means a dough, initially. Elakulu belila san raka ninhu. All are a batter, it's a soft belila. The yahiv mayim b'kemach. Now, when you make a batter, you also have to do belila, right? If you take flour and you put in, if you take cake flour and you put in a lot of water, what do you get? You get a little lake with mud on the bottom. Right? You do have to mix it up, but what you wind up with is something that you can't pick up in your hand unless you're trying to create it like a batter fall. It'll flow right out of your hands. So he says that it's only all these things that would be potter is the lilasan rakan in who? The yahid mayim bekemach, the yavu be'ufas o bechama ad afu. So you put it into a pan, obviously the pan or a pot holds the batter, and then you cook it either on the fire or you cook it in the sun. When Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan are talking about Maase Ofes, they're not talking about a dough, they're not talking about a pizza dough. For example, let's take our cast iron pot that you superheat up and you're going to make the pizza in it. So according to Reish Lakish, that might be called Maase Ofes, which Reish Lakish would pata. So Rabbeinu Tam says it doesn't mean that you take your pizza dough and you put it into that ilfis, into that cast iron pan, in order to bake. No. Even according to Reish Lakish, that's Maase Ofes, it's Chayav and Challah anyway. Because that's a Belila Abba. It started out, it had a gilgul, it was a dough. And dough is always Chayav and Challah. So he says that when they talk about the Maase Ofes, it means something that is only ru'uya layasas be'ofis, right? A dough doesn't require ilfis. You can take a dough and bake it directly in an oven. You can stick it to the walls. You cannot bake a batter without an ilfis. It's impossible. So, avalhecha de'gilgal isa b'chitim, b'timtima b'sorim, it's the same process, just a different verb. When you make a dough out of wheat or barley, loshna be'ilfis, v'loshna b'chama, chayavis, it doesn't matter ilfis for Reish Lakish, which is normally pater yachayev, and it doesn't matter chama for Rabbi Yochanan, which you normally pater yachayev in this case. The ka'amar, the hainu sefer, the katani, tchilaso isev esofa sufganim chayaz. Tchilaso isev means the meidana, the gilgel, as soon as, from the moment that he was megalga, that he made it into a dough, yachayva, it became chayev in chala. It's a dough. It's an arisa. The lo miftara la olam, it never will be pater. Again, respectively, from Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan. The afilu isas haklavim she'ein haroim ochlim menu mishas gilgul The same thing would be true about Isas HaKlavim, which is obviously a problem, as you know, but Rabbeinu Tam didn't say that. A lot of Rishonim don't know that. Like, they don't know what to do with Rabbeinu Tam about Isas HaKlavim. The answer is Rabbeinu Tam said to finish, Isas HaKlavim is fine. So, Ela Kulu Hanifturi Dechala B'Shelo Gilgal. That's what Rabbeinu Tam Shita was. So it was correct, except for that last detail, which is crucial. Va'anan lo chazina lahachsara v'lo salkalan kahoga. It means, when we say we don't see this sar, it means we don't hold of it. We don't think it's correct. Da'anan isa tefilasa sufganim tnan. What is the nesach of the Mishnah? Isa tefilasa, I'm sorry, isa tefilasa sufganim. So if that's the language, it's an Isa shetchilas sufganim. It is. Nobody calls a batter an Isa. It's a dough. The shamus minei the chulo Isa ninu. They're all dough. When this fish is talking about dough, the ilav Isa ninu havale lemisne sufganim shetchilasan v'sofan sufganim peturim. Not Isa shetchilas v'sofan sufganim peturim. Chilaso Isa v'asa sufganim sufganim v'asa Isa chayavim v'sufganim lav Isa ninu. Sufganim and Isa are the two different things. Same thing by the dog though. Called dog though, that's a good word. The Alma Isa hi, the lecha ella the roam ochlim menu vein ochlimen. The only distinction with an Isa Saklavim is whether it's an Isa. The only question is, do the shepherds eat from it or do they not eat from it? Only the dogs eat from it. Vadai Hasam Ashkacham bin Yushalmi the Parishabe, and you find in the Yushalmi the following. Ezehu Isa Sakovim, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer, Kol She'ire Vamursam. Which Lakish says that you have to blend in with it Mursam. What is Mursam? Shimon?
Bran.
In other words, it's got to be whole wheat Isa Sakovim. It has to be whole wheat Isa. Why? Because people didn't like eating whole wheat. They liked white bread. Solus Nikia, or Pas Nikia, was considered the highest form of bread. We might today say it should be the lowest form of bread. It shouldn't be fed to anyone for health reasons. But for them, who A, they didn't suffer a calorie deficit, and B, it was a luxury. So for them, Pas Nikia was the best thing. You know, what's the alternative? What's the opposite of Pas Nikia? Pas Kiva. I don't know what the etymology of the word is, but it means with the bran in it. Pas Kiva. You read the story of Marta Vasvaitus in Churban, Churban Vayesheni in Gittin, and probably Nun Zayin Amid Aleph, and then Vavar Nun Zayin Amid Aleph, and she keeps sending her Shaliach out to get bread, and each time he comes back, she says, get white bread. He comes back, no white bread. There was holy bread, but he didn't get it. So she says, get holy bread. He comes back, there's no holy bread left. Okay, it's a great story, but Derech Agav, what you see from the story, is that the preferred form of bread was the more relatively more processed. It was where the bran was stripped out. Why is it better that way? Well, some people might like the taste, and the other reason it's better that way is because when you take the bran out, it's much easier to make it a nice fluffy loaf of dough. When you have bran in there, the weight of the bran, the way bread rises is you have gluten, which is an elastic protein, and the gluten stretches. When you bake or boil gluten, it destroys the elasticity. Take a rubber band and put it in the oven and bake it. And what happens? You take it out and it crumbles. It becomes brittle. So that's in effect what happens to gluten, which is why if you make matzah and you bake it, you can make matzah meal, it will never become chametz meal. That gluten will be useless for rising. But the problem is, the more weight there is, the harder it is for the bread to rise. So that's, if you pull the bran out, the bran is much heavier and it allows the wheat to rise more nicely. When you get if you go buy Fryhoffers, 100% stone ground, 100% whole wheat bread, I don't think it's really good for you. But the reason why it's so fluffy is because if you read the ingredients on the package, there's the whole wheat, and then they add gluten taken from other wheat. They add extra gluten into the whole wheat bread so that it can rise and make a nice fluffy loaf just like the white bread. If you compare the Fryhoffers white bread and the Fryhoffers whole wheat bread, they seem fluffy the same way. That's only going to happen because they've added gluten in. So, Reish Lakish says, there's got to be more sun in the bread in order to constitute Isa Sakovit. Masnis and Amra came, Bisman Sharon Ochlan Old Mimenu, Pa'amim Shenaron Ochlan Mimenu. So, apparently there's some bread that they eat from, some they don't eat bread. It depends whether there's more sun. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kosh Asan Ka'avim Utsni Kein Asan Ka'avim Chayevas Asan Limud Petura. Again, two different ways of making the bread. Some Isis HaKavim are Pato Samachayim. Utsni Kein Asan Ka'avim Chayevas Asan Limud I'm sorry, Rabbi Abba B'Shem Shmuel Rabbi Ami Shmuel Chir Rabba Afilo Asan Kluskin. Kluskin is nice, good. I always think it's a cookie, but it means it's nice white bread. Still, it's still can be Isis HaKlavim. The hearts and Enon, im ein aron ochlim imenu. But does the Mishnah not speak about a kind of bread that the shepherds won't eat? And if Kluskin can be Isis HaKlavim, if it can qualify, then how is it that the aron ochlim imenu? So the answer the Yerushalmi gives is tiposer, that's a Yerushalmi word, you should explain, meaning answer, she asar mishar mishana shalai yochal imenu. In other words, Rabbi Ami's position, Rabbi Chiya's position, is that it doesn't matter how the bread is made. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both said, in order to qualify for the Ptur of Isis HaKlavim, it has to be bread that only a dog would eat. Whole wheat bread, it's hard. But Rabbi Chiya says no. Doesn't matter, it can be the finest white bread in the world. So then, how is it Ein HaRom Ochlim? And the answer is, if your intent when you made the bread, when made the dough, was that dogs would eat it.
A dog treat.
Yes, a dog treat, that's correct. I don't know what dogs like. Does anybody know? Do dogs prefer whole wheat bread or white bread?
Dogs are ready to eat anything.
We know that, but which they like better? You have a dog?
No, unfortunately not.
Did you have a dog?
I did not.
But you seem to be very well acquainted with dog life.
Yeah, I have a friend who has a dog.
So maybe if you can ask your friend if you could do an experiment. take a slice of whole wheat bread and a slice of white bread and see which one the dog chooses first, which it chooses. How's that?
Sounds good.
Ask him. Okay, so we'll find out what the clavim really like more. But bottom line is, right, whether the dogs do or don't like it, it matters what the people don't like, according to Reish Lakish of the Yochanan. It's the kind of food that the people... is something muchach in the isa itself that a person's not going to eat it, that's called isa klavim, that's pure. But if it's the kind of thing that has no muchach in it, then it's chayavas. So the Ramban continues, V'cheva de maskana hochin, shaminim ima, de isa saklavim makinu asam isolas mekia, ke matzaso shoshlomo. Vos is matzaso shoshlomo. There's only one person in this room who should know this, because he learned it. But he might not remember it. Everybody knows who I'm thinking about. Do you remember?
Is it
Esper and Ashisha? Oh, absolutely. The Ashisha. I don't remember what the exact etymology of the word Chacham talks about, the kind of bread that Shlomo HaMelech served. So, anyway, an Ashisha, that's what the Ramban is referring to when he says, Kimatzaso Shel Shlomo. It was like the super, super bread. So he said that even if you make super, super bread like Matzaso Shel Shlomo, Kevan da Adaita de Klavim Petur Menachal. Since you made it for the purposes of feeding the dogs, it's exempt from the challah. The Hachinami, Dina Sufganim. Same thing is true by Sufganim. Apa Pisha Gilgala Isa Kedarka. Kevan to Aldas Lasosa Sufganim. Your intent was to fry. You're making a donut. Husha Gilgal. Ubisof Nami Asaf Sufganim. And you indeed, you fry it. Petura. Sahai Devre HaKolim. Everybody agrees. On the part about Klilasa Isa Vesof Sufganim. Why does everybody agree? Because it's Stam Mishnah. The Adkan Mopli Elabi Isa Saklavim. The Klilasa Vesof Isa. The nefesh v'tan of lechem gomer. The only machlokas between the Amoraim, the Shlakish of the Yochanan, and whoever, Rabbi Chiya, is when you have something which is chilaso isa, v'sofo isa, and it's perfectly edible to people, but you intended to feed it to the dogs. Ulefun hachi chayshi Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish shema yachalek lechol l'roam imenu. The Reish Lakish of Yochanan machmir because we're afraid that the roan will actually eat it, and it turned out it's chayav and chala. Why will the roan actually eat it? Because it's perfectly edible. It's gluskin. It's white bread. Inami dilma asi lachlufei b'lechem ba'alma. U'mishkacha tamas chala. Maybe people will confuse it. They'll say, oh, that doesn't require chala. The same bread, just made for people, doesn't require chala. U'lahachi bo hekera de mursan o limudin. That's why Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan require either the heker of mursan, the heker of limudin. So the bread will be different bread, actually. V'rabi chi alochash ba'klau. Why did that part not get underlined? Vafilu kluskin patura. See, that's what happens when you underline.
Aval sufganim shesofan mochiach al chilasan. In the end, you fry the donut. It demonstrates in the first place you made it. As I for you made dough for a donut. So akol modim shaholchin achar dato shel adam. Chilaso besofo al das sufganim petura. Chilas gilgal al das isa stam v'nimlach sufganim chayaves. When the Mishnah says chilaso isa besofo sufganim, it doesn't mean that if in the beginning it was a dough, despite the fact that you fried it in the end, it's chayavis. It means chilaso isa, when you made it in the first place, your intent was to bake it. Chilaso, it was al das to be an isa in the end, but in the end you decided to fry it and have Dunkin' Donuts, so you're chayav. Shekvar nischayva mishas gilgul. But gilgul al das sufganim, v'nimla shelo laso sufganim, ela isa so either way, if you intend to make it an Issa in the end, or you do make it an Issa and it's Chayavis, but if your intent was in the first place to fry it, and you fried it in the end, then even though it was an Issa, even though it was Belila Ava, the Ramban says that it is Potter. You might ask a question, and I want you guys to tell me what is this question on. Yes, to the following din, which is in the Mishnah. If you have flour and water that belongs to Hekdesh, and the Gizbar is looking to get us to sell it for more money to someone who's going to be Kodesh, and he makes a dough out of it, and then he sells it, so the halacha is that it's Petura. Why is it Petura? Because it's Isas Hekdesh. Now, when is it hekdesh? Shimmy?
When it's a dough before.
When it's a dough, not when it's finished. So if that's the case, so the Ramban says, why is it potter in the end? Now, which case is he asking on? Shimmy? Correct. You started out, your intent was to fry it, and in the end, you actually decided to bake the dough. So the Ramban's question is the following. You see from the case of Challah that what matters is Shas Gilgul. If something is not Mischayevis B'Shas Gilgul, it doesn't matter that later it could be, you know, higher than Challah. It doesn't matter. So if it was Hekdesh when you did the Gilgul, it doesn't matter that it was no longer Hekdesh when you baked it into Challah. So if that's the case, if I have a dough which I intended to make into a donut to fry it, and instead I decide to bake it, which will make it into Sofo Isa. So if that's the case, why is it Chayavis? Why don't you say that? Since at the time I was Megalgalit, I had in mind to fry it, despite the fact that I changed my mind later and I baked it, it doesn't matter. B'Shas Gilgul, my intent was to fry it, it should remain Patur forever. If it's true that Gilgal, when it was Hekdesh, and then you code that, and then you... Then you bake it. If you're chayiv there, if you're potter there, why aren't you potter here as well? That's a reasonable question. So the answer he gives is hasa mechusar meisa hacha b'nivlala da'alma u'masa shemesol motzi mide machshava. What does this mean? Since you bolded it.
The highlight that I forgot to mention is that I didn't understand it.
Ah, that's a good question. He was highlighting what he didn't understand. Okay. So what do you think the Rabbi means? Shall we?
I think he's saying that in the case of Sifkana Ki'isa, the only thing that would have made Petura is the Machshava, and that Machshava is being basically in Batel when you actually make it differently. But in the case of the Ginsbar, there it's not just about the thought. It physically wasn't yours, and that can't be Mavata.
You're close, but not, I think, precise on the second half of the formulation. You're very close. Anybody else want to take a stab at it?
Well, I've been influenced by our conversation.
So let's see. What you were telling me, what you walked away from the conversation.
I'm still tempted to say masa, and the first part is masa as far as any kind of masa, like masa acting on bread. But
that would be true in the other case too.
Right, but that's why it seems like there's a complete lack of any kind of masa on the dough that the person is involved with. And that seems to be a contrast with the second part.
I know what you mean. What's the chusamaisa on the dough? Somebody was megalgo it. They megalgo when it belonged to Hekdesh as opposed to megalgo when they were going to fry it later at the time they were in megalgo. That's the question. What's the chusamaisa?
An individual, not part of the Hekdesh system. Sorry, I wanted to say that just because the way masa is used in the second half, I would like the parallelism.
I think that the difference between, I'm not sure it's a perfect analogy. I don't know if I need it, but there's a halacha that if you write a gift on the chuber lekarka, and then you detach it and give it to your wife, it gets psula. Why is it possible? That is possible. Excuse me. Why is it possible?
You're not allowed to do a
masa
between when you write it and you give it?
It can't be mechusar a maisa in between the steps. In other words, it's b'chasav v'nasan. Prat l'zeh, that it has to be b'chasav v'kotzas v'nasan. Which is why the Mishnah says, if you write the get on the arm of on the horn of a cow, if you give her the cow, the get is good. But if you cut off the horn and give her the horn with the get written on it, it's no good. If you're writing on the yad of the eved, which you're not allowed to do because the only way that it works is for get is silvas kaka, which would be us. But if you did it, and then you mocked her the eved, that would work. But if you cut off the eved's arm, it would be no good. Now it's get us to cut off the eved's arm, but it also would cost the get. Okay? So you can't, in other words, we're saying that it can't be mechusar maisa in between. So by what happens by a regular case, every dough, you make a dough, or you do something, some type of a gilgul, whether it's a blila or bilaraka, and then you perform some process at the end. Those are the two processes. Now, what determines whether it's going to be mischayevet or not, in the case of chilaso isa sufganim, or chilaso isa v'sofa sufganim, versus chilaso sufganim, chilaso sufganim v'sofa isa, versus chilaso isa v'sofa isa, is just an achshavah that you have at the time that you're doing it. There's nothing that has to take place between then and later. What happens between then and later? What's the difference between, I'm sorry, chilaso sufganim v'sofa sufganim versus chilaso sufganim v'sofa isa?
So you just have to do with it.
It's what you decide to do with it. It's just an achshavah. It's just an achshavah. But when it comes to hekdesh, you megalgal it when it belongs to hekdesh. And then at the end, you do a process to make it into an isa. You bake it. But there's something that has to happen in between. And what is that? Pidyum. Correct. You need pidyum. I think that's what the Ramban means by the maisa that's missing. There's a stage in between that has to happen. In other words, what I think the Ramban understands, his language is not 100% clear, is that because there's no interruption in a case of chilasa sufganim sofo isa, the machshava sofo isa, the action of sofo isa, goes back and modifies the machshava at the time of sufganim. It's motzi midei that machshava, it modifies it. It can, because the two are connected, there's nothing in between. But when it comes to chala shel hekdesh, there's something in between that breaks the link between the gilgul and the maisa at the end, the afi at the end. And since the shas chiyuv of chala is the gilgul, if it was pure at the gilgul and you can't connect what happens later to what happened shas gilgul, then whatever happened to Shas Gilgul is determinative, in which case, since it belongs to Hekdesh, it is the Torah. That's what I think Ram means. Hasam, Mechusar Maisa, Haha, I don't know, I will admit Ephraim, and this is probably what threw you. Bimivla Lava Alma, Umasa Shabasof, Masha Shabasof, Motzi Nidei Machshava. I don't know what he means exactly by Mivla Lava Alma. I'm working on Hasam, Mechusar Maisa, and that is the opposite. I will admit, this is very strange language. I never even heard such a word, mivla. I mean, the word mivla looks like a passive. That yud. If you're thinking, you know, Babli Aramaic, right? When you have the word, does that work? Whenever you have in the Babli, if you have a form like igarsha, aleph yud, gimel resh shin hey, the yud that you see is what's called compensatory lengthening. And it means a letter fell out. And of course, the letter fell out, we lengthen the vowel. What letter fell out of Igarsha?
None.
No. That's off. Iskarsha. Once you say Iskarsha, you recognize it's the passive in Aramaic. So you'll see this all over the Bible, Igarsha. So that's what Mivlala Ba'alma, but I don't know that's what the Ramban means here. So I don't really, and I don't know anything about Kisrayam, the Ramban Zilchoschala. I don't know, like, well, how good this is, and how good the text is, and how well the prince is. I admit, Ephraim is correct. It's very hard to understand what that phrase means, Hacha B'milu Ba'alma, but Hasa Mechusa Maisa, I think, is the nice of Pidyo. Here, Masa Shabbosov, Motzi B'nei Mashava, because there's no Maisa that is Masa in between. So the Gilgal and the treatment at the end can be linked. So whatever you do at the end influences the Shas Gilgal. But when it's Mechusa Maisa, in between, the Gilgal and what happens at the end are disconnected, and it all is determined by whatever it was at the time of the Gilgal. Right?
We
got
it saying that physical reality is concerned, it was like the world of mass, and all you have is a mitzvah laws, and now you have a mixture. And there's no all the different ingredients on which you have das or sofro isa.
I guess. I mean, it could be. It's just it's not the way I would have formulated it. So, I mean, that more or less is. It's got to be something like that. That's what I think Rambam means. He means that the connection by kepesh, the pidyon required of the team, is masik between our court, the b'chasa v'nasan. Whereas, when it comes to a regular case of chilasov sukkanim, the sofa isa, when you thought at the time of Gilgal to fry it, and then you end up baking it, there's no maisa that's masik in between the baking and the Gilgal to say that they have to be separated. So we say that the masa of the bafi at the end, it influences, retitles the mashava during the Gilgal to make it chayavach and chala. And then he says, v'cheina k'nuv ka'os, sheshaninu chayavos v'far shalai v'yishami, shalotom arho v'asiga l'asiva l'solta teftur min achala. You might, so apparently, k'nuv ka'os, you bake it, and then you crumble it up. I don't know what you do with it after that. So, you would have thought that since in the end you're going to crumble back to Solas, it would be Tur min achala. My time, why? Kevan de ka'ati mebetanor ve'ilfos v'nasis lechem kodim shenasim v'lasota lo'mishkar v'machshav v'nemikar. Since, at the end, it doesn't matter that you eventually intend to take it into bread. You have the Gilgal, you have the Afiyah. And if those two are connected, then the fact that you were ofed as an isa, that it was lechem, is kovea. It doesn't matter what you do afterwards. My time on lechem ksiv, v'hof is avida lechem. The chiyuv chala stems from v'haya b'chochem mi lechem ha'aretz, and this was made into lechem. Ha'chash v'la b'shas gilgul l'davar she'ena osa lechem b'sof. But if at the time of Gilgal you intended to do something with this thick dough that is not going to be mechayev and chal, it's going to be sofa sefganim, and you made it sofa sefganim, so you never, it wasn't in fact sofa isa, neither in machshava, neither in the ma'isa, then keturah. Then the Ramban uses an expression which the Gemara on very rare occasion uses, v'tul lo midi. What's v'tul lo midi in Greek? Three words. Translate that into three English letters. Do you know? Don't say it. Jimmy?
That's all, folks. Oh, sorry, wrong one.
That's three letters?
Oh, three letters. Oh, QED, sorry.
QED. I don't know what the Latin stands for. QED means.
Words.
Proof is finished. What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, well, I wrote them in
struck. Okay, it means has been proven.
Yeah, yes.
So, tu lo midi. What does the word tu, by the way, mean?
Yes.
Yeah, Ronnie, what is the tu? Tu lost the letter. There's a missing letter, and so you'll see.
Two, like from the Shamba.
What?
Like from the Kham. No? Like at two.
I have to love the creative analogies, no.
Is it from the Jokhara like more?
And when you see it in the Yerushalmi, it won't lose the letter. In the Bavli, it always loses the letter. I don't know if you see sometimes manuscripts that have it. Right? What's the letter?
Beis.
Tuv. Shuv. Tu means like the oath. Shuv. The tu lo midi means there is no more. There will be no more. Nothing to be said. The Gemara has this phrase occasionally. The Ramban uses the tu lo midi. Nothing more to say. Rabbi Natan, the Ramban says, is wrong. QED. Okay. Any questions about the Ramban? This is really the machlokas. So now we get to see what the Pesach Halacha is. Jake, can I ask you to please read? Unless you feel I picked on you too recently, which I don't remember. Do you feel picked on? All right. Well, Jimmy knows that I'll pass, so he's going to be able to read slowly so he can correct you. Like a sponge. Okay, so it has to be lechem in the end. So those, the last things are donuts. They're actually donuts, but they're fried in oil. I don't know. I imagine that sufganim are also fried in oil. It just interrupted it with the definition. That would be my guess. And it's not that the sufganim are baked, but they're rakim, hasim, kisrog. It's sufganim, which, by the way, are rakim, hasim, kisrog. Dushanim and skaritim are mitzganim and dash. They're all fried in honey. That must be wickedly good. I don't know what it's like, though. How do you fry in honey?
Probably
fry and then bleed in honey. Yeah.
Or the other way around.
I mean, because you have to fry it. I think when you fry in oil, the quality of oil, I don't know the chemistry, but not all oils even work, right? The oils, you have to have oils that have a you know why? You don't fry with olive oil. You know why you don't fry with olive oil?
Burning point is too long.
Correct. So you need the right kind of oil in order to fry in, or you probably do. So I don't imagine that honey would be suitable for frying it. Mitugana probably mitugana, and then it's coated in drash or something like that. Whoever said that, it makes sense. Fine. Halacha beis. Sif beis. Hirtiach v'yach ha'kachi bik. So what is this sif about? What is it really about? The sif says what it says, but it's actually adopting a position very clearly. Correct. Lewis said, remember Yochanan. In other words, this is saying that a b'li l'raka, which you bake, is chayav and chala. But what does baking mean? So it says if you do it in an ilkis, or you do it in a tanu, in a machamas or a tanu. But it doesn't matter whether or not you heat it and then stick the thing in, or stick the thing in and then heat it, which is usually the difference between a tanor and a machabas. Right? In a machabas, in a pot, you might very well put the thing in and then turn the fire on. Whereas in a, for example, I mean, it's hard to know because there's no other way to do it, but when you make an omelet, when I make an omelet, I'm the omelet maker in the family, it's my specialty. I make good omelets. So, at least my wife thinks so. It's really good because I'm the one who does the work. It always tastes better when someone else does the work. But, so, the truth is I only preheat the pan. It's necessary primarily to melt the butter, which will serve to coat it. That will be as the oil, so it doesn't stick so much. But I don't think I couldn't pour in theory, and again, the pan is not, so it doesn't really get, it doesn't take long to get hot. I think you could make the omelet just the same way if you poured the batter in, assuming you sprayed it. You didn't use butter, you used oil of some kind. And you could pour the batter and then turn the thing on. It wouldn't matter. It could be hidbit. You stick it in, and then lasofertia. When you bake normally, though, most baking takes place where you, certainly when you bake a loaf of bread, you preheat the oven. I think even with batters today, we tend to preheat the oven. But the point is, it doesn't matter whether you do it kamasa tan or kamasa ilfis. It doesn't matter in a tan or an ilfis. It is chayev in chala. Wuvad shlo ayde mashke is the one place where Rabbi Yochanan says it's pata. Okay, go ahead.
Isa shiglot ha'ava, the gala agat, the vishla o'tagna, o'lesot ha'sufgani, o'lisha chama.
Okay, so the first one is pasta, the second one is a donut, and the other ones, I can't really tell you what they are. Le'avsha b'chama could be lechamasa l'kutach. I mean, I know what it means in Shulchan Aruch, I don't know what lasos ha'sufgani means. Like, what is how is lasos ha'sufgani then different than tigun? I will say, when he said earlier that it's asin kisrog, we have what type of a thing is like that, by the way? Shimmy?
Cakes.
I mean, you think about particularly not like a Danish or a croissant, maybe a croissant, but you think about like the fluffy, fluffy bakery cakes, you know, with these cake flour. And if you go, for those who know, again, butterflakes, you go into the cake and you get, you know, the few layers, like Duncan Hines almost. But the bakery cake tends to be even fluffier than that. So that sounds like it's not, that's like a sfug. That's like a sponge. I don't know if that in its own right, I don't know that the mechaber means, but you bake that enough. I don't think the mechaber means to say that's pata from challah, but I could be wrong. I assume that, yes, a friend?
I checked the lexicon, the long lexicons yesterday, and they wanted to read sufkanin from green sponge.
Which is, what, right. I know, I understand, my question is it fried or baked? In other words, is the sponge characteristic incidental or definitional? If you have a sponge cake, and sponge cake tends to be not quite as spongy as some bakery cakes, but at least sponge cake I've had. But I guess some sponge cakes are pretty spongy. So a sponge cake, is it that you bake a sponge cake? Would you say that that's called sofa sufganim? That's when the Chaber says, lefikach ha-sufganim, and rachim ha-suyim kisvog, va-bershonim ha-skrita ve mitzuganim midvash. Mitzuganim midvash, does that only go on the last two? Or, in other words, I want to know, are sufganim fried or not? Are they fried or baked? Because if they're baked, why are they not considered sofa isa? Unless you say because the texture itself disqualifies it. That would be a huge finish.
It tends to be passing like the hybrid version of Rabbeinu Tam, that both matter. I mean, that still wouldn't work.
No, because it's a batter.
It's a batter, but then it still is nafa.
Unless you say that nafa means it has to be dense. That would be a finish. I find it hard to believe that the mechaber means that you bake the sufganim. But because it's so spongy, because it's so fluffy, it doesn't qualify as pasta. It's an interesting question. I mean, when Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake. I don't even know if that's true.
I don't think it is.
And I know, if she did, I don't know what cake meant and bread meant back then. I have no idea. So, but it's, we learned that. I learned that in seventh grade, so it must be true.
It
must be true.
It's
so, is cake not bread? I always thought cake is bread halachically. You have to bake in the oven. It's pasta halachically. Mahulayam. Okay. Not 100% sure. Go ahead. So, if you made a dough, but your intent at the end was to turn it into one of these things, to finish it off, and you did it. So it's got to be Tilasa Sufganim is your das, Sofo is your Maisa. So then, in fact, it's worth noting, maybe highlight now, the difference between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban and the reading of the Mishnah, when we talk about Tilasa the Sofa, is the Ramban says that Tilasa the Sofa refers to the Maisa, the way you actually made the thing. No. It refers to not the Maisa, but the Machshava. You know, the first one refers to the Machshava, the second one refers to the Maisa, for the Rabban. And as when we say Chilaso Isa Sofo Chilaso Isa Chilaso Sufganim, we're dealing with an Isa here. So when we say Chilaso Sufganim and Chilaso Isa, it means what were you thinking when you first started? And Sofo refers to what you do. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's all about the Metzias. Chilasa is what it is at the beginning, Sufganim Ve'isa, and Sofo is what it is at the end. Lewis?
It still is mentioned at the end for the Ramban, right? Because like the language uses like Mima. But
well, no. The point is for the Ramban, the Machshava at the beginning, once it's Mechayev, nothing can patter it in the end. It's not the Machshava at the end. And Lewis, why don't you have Machshava at the end? Because you have Maisa, you can't contradict it. Well, I baked it as a bread, but I think of this as a Sufganim.
If something went wrong or something, it came out differently. Like, as bad as not communicated. Like, how would you judge it? If, like,
but the point, for the Ramban, it's easy. For the, you Ramban?
Yeah.
The Ramban would say that your intent to make the dough in the end doesn't matter, even if it's made Sufganim in the end. Even if you fry in the end, the Ramban would say, it's Hayas.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking starting with Sufganim.
Well, the Sufganim is simply said that your intention all the way through the Sufganim.
And you just messed it up?
Yeah.
Very badly.
I think you're just a loser, that's all. I know, I don't know.
What if you forget the oil?
What? On the front?
No worse than step up, no?
The question is, what do you do with it at the end? That's the question.
If you make these a step up, then you go and decide to eat it. Are they high on it? It's butter now, no?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's true. Okay. So bottom line is, if your intent was that asachem patura, go ahead. Gilgalah. Right, same thing as before, except for that wasn't your original intent. Okay, so fine. So the first case in the Mechaber was Klilasa v'sofa sufganim. The second case was Klilasa isa v'sofa sufganim. And then finally he says, because that's Klilasa sufganim v'sofa isa. So in order to be potter, your mashava has to be the sufganim when you're making the dough, and it has to wind up not being baked. Then it's ptura. But other than that, if your intent was to make it to bake it in the end, even though you fry it, or if your intent was to fry it the year that baking it, it's chayav asinchal. One, because it winds up being baked. One, because your machshava b'shas gilgul is still there. Okay, continue. This is an interesting bit. Right? In other words, if your intent was to bake part of it, then even if that part is not enough of chamishas revayim of kemach, you still have it. Okay. Hey. Teresa, that's our case. Okay, so this is the first interpretation in the Gemara of Teresa, as Rashi explains it, which is Gevil Mirtach. Everybody knows that. Aval. And which case in the Gemara is that? You have two choices. Shani?
It's the first one.
I asked you what's it called.
I don't remember.
Trukadim, or otherwise known as Kuvadara. Right, so the way the Shulchan Aruch defines is Rashi. I think the Rambam doesn't agree with this, by the way. Well, some of the Gaonim don't, because they have a totally different reading of the Gemara. But the bottom line is that if it's just poured on the kira, it's not called lachem, because that's not called tzuras hapas. Your pancake, which is made by pouring on the griddle without a mold, is considered napas, and therefore it's pure from challah because it's never bread, and you would never make hamotzi no matter how much you ate of tevil mirtach. But kuva da'ara is considered lechem, and if you kovea, you make hamotzi. Yes, so that's the difference. If you make your pancakes on the griddle and they spread stops whenever it stops, then it's pure min challah and it's never hamotzi or berachas hamazon. If, however, you have a Mickey Mouse mold into which you pour the pancake mix, then it's considered lechem, and if you eat enough, it's chayav and challah, and if you eat enough of it, if you kovei asud on it, then it's chayav and hamotzi and shalosh brachos. Okay. And then the Ramah chimes in. And that's what? Rashi's explanation of
Nama
Dehindika, which the Mechaber seems to have left out. The Mechaber now will come to the third one. Right? There were three definitions to Teresa, as we have the Gersh in our Gemara, the Kisayad, which is Pater, which is Tur Menachala. One is Vil Mirta, that was the Mechaber in Sefei. One was Lach Nama Dehindika, which is the Ramo in Sefei. And now the last one is going to be Lech Amasai Lekutach, which is the third, which is what the Mechaber is going to quote in Sefa. Go ahead. Kali is a roasted flour. Roasted. Yes, F-O-U-R. But you take the flour and then you, could it be that you roast the kernels and then you grind them up? I don't think it makes a difference, but...
What is the lashu?
Knead it. With water. You use water to bind it together.
Okay.
And you eat it without baking it. You can do that because you already baked the... roasted the kernels. So you kind of process them. It's potter. Ukli. Right. If you roast it, if you need it in order to bake it, not just to eat it that way, so then the gilgul is lechayim. Okay. Any questions on our sugya? Again, there are other shitas which I'm not going to talk to Rabbi Yona. Quotes a lot of it here from the Gaonim, but the Rashi Tosfos access, I mean, not Tosfos because we reject Rabbi Yonatan, we adopt the Ramban's position, that's what makes it into the Shulchan Aruch. So this is actually lemaisa how things work. So, when I come back to my pancakes and waffles, assuming pancakes are made on a griddle-like thing, where the pan, you know, pan doesn't give it the shape. I mean, I'll give you an example, which, I don't know, this would be a really interesting case. If you ever make an omelet, so I make an omelet in a frying pan, which is circular. Now, at some point, the omelet doesn't... What initially allows me to make the omelet is the pan. Otherwise, it would just totally spread out. It would take too long for it to solidify. But my omelet doesn't fill the bottom of the pan by the time I'm done. In other words, it temporarily holds it in, but I push in from the side with the spatula, so I wind up with something that doesn't exactly fit the shape of the pan. What would it then be by a pancake in that case? I don't know. I think, again, I never watched it. You have to see how they... I'm willing to bet in restaurants, people really are good, not me, no. I manage to do this, you know, if it tastes good. I think they often make the stuff on griddles, where they toss it on, and, you know, it's slow enough to... So it solidifies enough that they can sort of shovel it together. Like when you make scrambled eggs is a better example. I mean, I don't know if you do the same thing with flour, but scrambled eggs certainly don't take on the shape of the pan. You need the pan to hold it in order that it doesn't spread all over the place, but once you do, you end up, like, plunging it all up. It's really not so different than the process of the omelet. So if you had such a thing with flour, would that be considered kuba da ara or vil mirtha?
I wouldn't think so, because the point is that it's giving it a tzura.
And therefore, it's not giving it a tzura. I think you're correct on that. So, again, I'll call it, if you have my omelet waffle, so that would, or omelet pancake, that would not constitute a... that would constitute gevil mirtach, and it would be p'tur menachala. And if it's p'tur menachala because it has no, it's not called lechem, then you know what's the bracha on it. And if you eat a stack of, I don't know, flapjacks,
still
mizonos. However, if you have the pancakes that you typically buy, my sense is they're so circular they're in a mold. Or waffles that you make in a waffle maker. So there you have a tzura, and therefore that is considered, I don't know if we would call that kubadara, but it's like kubadara. And therefore it's possible to kiss it. Although, I'm not even sure waffle, I guess it depends. Waffles could be a snack too, right? They're like ice cream and waffles.
I think cones
are waffles. No, ice cream cones are probably possible to kiss it because it's sweet and it's kachin, it's hard. But I don't know of anybody who's kovea on ice cream cones. But I should never say that, because I know one of you is going to raise your hand and say, but Rebbe, I do. What?
That was a really thin wafer, like cone, like, well, ice cream cone texture cookies. They're like really big, like wide circles.
Okay. Anyway, I think that ice cream cones themselves, even though it should have the din of has, it's a flour water mixture bake. It's definitely possible, but it's not more than possible with testing, that's for sure. Fine?
The question of waffles is that any mold is equivalent to
kubadara. I think so. And to kubadara, kubadara is basically a hole in the ground.
Well, you're getting a bread-like point, and you're making a sort of a loaf form. A waffle is not a bread-like form at all.
Is it any sort of hot, or just like any zero at all? A waffle is no more formed.
First question I ask, are you providing fuel for my wife, number one? Because that would be unacceptable. But number two, you're wrong anyway. I don't think the shape matters. You can make bread and whatever, but that's not what tzura sapas means. Tzura sapas means that it is shaped. I'll give you the, you know, let's say, right, I take my dough and I shape it like an ox.
That's my point.
If you put cheese on it,
that's
fine.
He's talking
about the
subject of nothing's bad. No, he's not. I am. He's being a wise guy. He's saying if you make it, yes. Let me just explain that. You're not allowed. Milchik bread is asr.
Mm-hmm.
If you make milchik bread, you're not allowed to eat it. It's a shame because butter makes everything taste better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about? We have a bakery in Teaneck. It's called Butterflake, although most of the cakes are par. Are you allowed to make a cake with butter?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it looks like a cake. No, I mean milk powder, like,
really. Really? If you mix milk into your dough or butter, it's usher to
eat. It just looks like normal bread. Yeah. If it's clear that.
So the reason why Chazal prohibited milchik or fleishik bread, where it's actually one of the ingredients, if there's a different kind of bread that you have to be machmir to treat as milchik. If you baked it in the oven at the same time as meat or milk, the bread, then that bread becomes fleishik or milchik, but you're allowed to eat it. But if one of the ingredients, that's because it's only reichim, it's a kind of a chumra. But if you one of the ingredients is milk or meat, the bread is also. Why? Because they used to eat bread with every meal. And therefore the Chacham were afraid that if you baked in bread with an ingredient that was milk, it's or flesh, so you use some butter, or you use some chazer shmelt. Excuse me. Meat shmelt, not chazer shmelt, sorry. You use meat shmelt, fat. That's a Yiddish word, shmelt. So the concern was that you'd end up eating it with the other thing, because it's bread. You'd assume, go get the bread for the next meal. In fact, I think in the Shulchan Aruch, like if bread was on the table with one, you're not supposed to eat with the other. Yeah. I'm not sure that applies like us when you keep bread on a cutting board. The concern is if you mix the parts that were left on the cutting board, I'm not sure that it applies to. But the principle was that bread was eaten with all meals, milk and some fleshes, therefore they didn't want there to be anything but power bread. Many years ago, I don't know if they still do that, I think it was wrong then, I think it was also to eat, one of the national Ashkafas gave the Ashkafa to a bread, to a milk bread, but they tied it that because it says on the package dairy that made it okay. So that, I don't think that's correct. The Gemara says that it says ke'ein tura. It's mutter to make milchik bread if it's ke'ein tura. And there, firstly, there are two pshatim as to what this means. I think we accept either one. One possibility, ke'ein tura, means like the eye of an ox. But that means a tiny amount of bread. Why is it mutter to make that milchik so fleishik? Because you're going to eat it all in that meal. The second interpretation means ke'ein tura, not like the ayah, but ke'ein. Like amad be'eino. Like you say something at the end. It means like. Like an ox. Meaning, I make a Mickey Mouse thing, but not Mickey Mouse thing. I make it like an ox. Something that's so unusual that you say, what is this bread? The answer is, I made it like an ox, because it's milchik bread, or it's fleishik bread. Then it's mutter to do so. But wise guy here said, but if you make bread in the shape of an, that's what I meant when I asked that question. Now I've got to remember where we're coming from and why I said that. I said it for good reason, and now he's totally throwing me off, but I have to teach you the halacha here, and you get 0.01 points of credit for your there. But he was a wise guy and said, well, if you make the bread in the shape of an ass, you can't have it with milk, because it would be basar b'challah. Very nice. Okay. But why did I say it? I was actually saying this for an intelligent reason.
Because it's
not tzurah pas. Yes, so fine. Would you say that it's not tzurah pas? Really? Do you see pas shaped like an ox? The answer is that sure as a pas means it's shaped and it holds its shape. The fact that you make the waffle with indentation does not make it not bread. I don't think that's not. I don't think that eliminates a sure as a pas. What's that?
Why isn't pas a sure as a pas? You're just saying it has a shape.
Do you know why, Boaz? If you can't answer the question, I'm going to give you 40 malchus with a wet noodle.
But it can't hold its shape.
Aren't you glad you are now going to be spared the malchus for having answered the question?
What do you mean? What is holding the shape? What's the metric for holding the shape? Because pasta, it doesn't like, it's a noodle. Like, it stays round.
Not again. It doesn't hold together, right? You can't. You pick up any piece of bread or a waffle, you pick it up by the edge, and the thing holds itself. Right. You pick up a noodle by the edge, whoop.
I can pick up a noodle.
Yes, and it sags over. It doesn't stay, you know.
Right.
You pick up a piece of bread.
It depends on the shape, though.
The waffle does.
If you pick up a shell,
what?
The waffle flops.
It's called a flap, isn't it?
What are you talking about?
Pancakes.
Pancakes, you have a better argument that, you know, that they might flop. Waffles don't flop. Waffles hold their shape.
What about lasagna?
You can pick up a waffle at the edge and it stays there. That doesn't hold its shape again. Pasta is so soft by its nature. It doesn't. Any pasta that holds its shape, you don't want to eat.
What about pasta shell shape that usually holds its shape?
Basically, yes, correct. So the pancake's an interesting question. Well, a pancake, but you know, a A pancake, once it cools down, might hold its shape. Pasta, when it, you know, spaghetti, when it cools down, doesn't hold its shape. I'm comfortable with that finishing. So waffles will remain lechem, and if you have a full breakfast of waffles, you will wash and bench on it, with or without maple syrup. If you only have a little bit, so then we still have to talk about tfiyas. I guess since I don't think we're going to come back to this necessarily, although I may have to have a few more things. So I think we really touched upon all the issues. We should probably give you the Shulchan Aruch to read, but there is a big machlokas magen Avraham in the Aruch HaShulchan. If you have a full meal, but most of the meal is not comprised of the Pasa Baba Kistin, if you don't have a lot of Pasa Baba Kistin. So the Magen Avraham is machmir and says that if you have Kviyas Suda, and then a small part of it is Pasa Baba Kistin, you have to wash them.
By the way, Shul Kiddushes are in shambles.
Well, are what?
In shambles.
Correct. That's where you have to. That's why you're supposed to wash the shul kiddush. Aruch HaShulchan doesn't agree. So in my house, we many years ago, for multiple reasons, but for this, we adopted the position in the Magen Avraham at our post Hashkamashir. Almost everybody washes, but many people wash. It has the advantage also, and you get in Suda Shnia. So unless you're makpid, you know, for a certain reading of the Rambam that you have to eat Shalosh Shudas after Mincha. You can eat then, and then when I eat lunch, which is not early, it's usually we don't eat till like 1 o'clock for us because I've eaten a shir already. So that's already Suda Shlishi. So even on the winter, even on Shabbos like this, by the time, you know, 2 o'clock has come, I've already eaten Suda Shlishi. So that is its advantage. But also it's at Bichosha. So we actually have real bread. We always have challah, you know, if we were all striding, we'd have pita. And then we wash and bench, and then that's Suda Shnia. And then when I have lunch, and anybody else, and the people wash, so I will go home and have lunch. That's Suda Shlishi. Shimmy?
Do you have a full meal and kiddush? A lot of people do.
Shimmy, have you ever been to a shul kiddush?
I mean, yeah, but like, how much can you really eat before the kids eat it all?
A lot.
Like, I was at kiddushes in the city where they really do serve a full meal, but like.
If there's cholent and there's kugel there.
Yeah, but you're not eating until you're full. You're making sure you leave room because in an hour you're going to have your actual lunch.
What planet are you from?
That's how they do things in my side of Kinect.
Maybe that's how you do it. You know, there's an old honeymooners. Rabbi Carmi would appreciate this. Where you have to know the characters. There's Ralph Cramden. He's the somewhat ornery. He's the ornery. Yes, I have. It's one of the few I know. That's why.
No,
Ryan
Carmey did.
Oh, he told me. He's a little bit ornery. You know, he's married to Alice, and then his buddy is Ed Norton. He works on the sewers, I think. Anyway, Ed comes there. One lives on top of the other in apartment buildings. So Ed comes down, and Alice's wife says, "Norton, would you like somebody?" He said, "Sure." So Ralph turns and says, "I thought you told me you ate already." He said, "Well, it's like Dizzy Dean, who was a famous relief pitcher, by the way. You have to know that also." He says, he warms up in the bullpen, but he still pitches. So, don't worry. People go home. I see people kiddush, they eat like Kesudas or Shoshal Melch, and they go home and do it again. Okay? So they're fulfilling their evolutionary tendencies and demands. Seafood, eat it. What's that?
I guess it depends on each person.
Not everybody's like that, but yes. People tend to eat the kiddush. And they eat enough in many cases. Even if they're not stuffing themselves, they might eat enough that you would call it kviyas suda. So I'm not telling you that you need to be machmir for the Magen Avraham. The solution, by the way, to kiddush, what's the solution? There are two possibilities.
Just don't eat any possible kiddush.
But then you have a different problem.
I and kiddush have machmir suda.
Correct. So there are two ways to get that. One way is if you make kiddush yourself, or somehow you get drink a revius of the kiddush, the Gaonim and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that way that say that yayin is enough to constitute kriya suda. You don't need pas. You can drink the yayin. But it doesn't work at a kiddush where the rabbi makes kiddush and he's the only one who drinks and everybody else eats. They haven't drunk. But if you make your own kiddush and you drink a revius, then you got to drink a revius. Kosher bracha doesn't require a revius drunken. It only requires, I believe, malolugma. But if you want to be kiyat sin or makom suda, you got to drink revius. The alternative, the shitasi, is to have something like cholent, where it's not pasa baba kistin, but it is davar hatuna. The definition that's given by Kiddush Makom Suda in the Rishonim is davar haton bracha lachar abimkomo. And since we hold that alamichya, anything that's mezonos is to, and certainly pas, which is hamotzi, is ton bracha achar abimkomo, you have to make lachatchila the bracha in place, right? A bar nefashos you know, if you went across the street, you can make the bracha there. It's not, there's no inyan whatsoever in coming back per se. Maybe you shouldn't go until you make the bracha because you might forget. Whereas mezonos, ideally, you really should be here. You're supposed to come back. So you might be a yotze if you didn't, but anything that it has to be to be considered piyasuda, davar ton bracha charbim koma, so any mezonos should qualify. I don't think there's anything there that suggests it has to be pas, but you have to find something that's mezonos and that's not pas. So you could have cholent, you could have, if they serve farina, you know, farina at the kiddush, you know, wheat meal, as we call it, then that would also constitute a mezonos. Rani?
If you forget to say,
yeah, that doesn't change. That's just a defining what constitutes malkum suda. If you had bread after you made kiddush and you didn't wash and you didn't bench, you still were yotze kiddush. It's kiddush malkum suda. You were a gazlan on the bread, not making a bracha before, and you failed to fill the mitzvah afterwards of bracha samasa. Right?
You said bracha achrona. You said you had to
Notice you have cholin, and then you can have.
You can have cake and have less than a kiddushuda.
So the question is, how little cake would you have to eat? I don't know. I have to look at the Magen Avraham and see how he deals with that. It's possible you could have a small amount of cake, but I'm not 100% sure whether that wouldn't take over the kiyas or not. Now, it's how much cake can you have, and then eat other stuff.
You say I'm looking on the cake afterwards, so you're not opposing it there. So it's understandable for the other things.
No, but then it wasn't the makom. You want to be ochel b'chevel b'shvei rashim. If your taina is that your alamichya is going to constitute. In other words, if you wanted to, you would say you eat a kezayis, make an alamichya, then eat whatever you want. I guess that. Interesting idea. Could be. It might work. That would require a certain kind of. So you have to eat a very small amount of cake, make an amecha, and then go eat your other stuff. Yeah, that should probably work as well. So, but I like cholent. So unless they make a gluten-free cholent, which they don't put the barley in, it's not. Then it's not a problem. You can do it that way. Okay. Any questions? Okay. Good.